Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here by my wonderful sister, Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, Disney offers visitors from the UK a new vacation package. The Princess and the Frog Splash Mountain replacement is opening in 2024. And an intoxicated Florida mother abandons her child at the T-Rex Cafe. Later on, we'll share a few ideas for rethemed attractions at Walt Disney World. So take a little break in your busy day and let's start daydreaming. Make sure you're following our social media channels at Diz Daydream on Instagram and Disney Daydream Podcast on Facebook. If you are a longtime listener and you want to make the next step and support our show financially, we'd appreciate that so much. Our Daydreamer family is very, very important to us. And if you want to see the perks that you can gain from becoming a patron, head on over to patreon.com/DisneyDaydream. That is patreon.com/DisneyDaydream. Depending on the tier that you select, and we do have tiers that start for as low as $3 a month and go up to $25 per month, you can get things like free merchandise, access to a whole library of mini episodes, and more. So feel free to check out our page at patreon.com/DisneyDaydream. Our show is sponsored by those patrons and by my own travel agency, Daydream Travel Agency. If you are thinking about taking a trip to Disney World, Disneyland, a Disney Cruise Line voyage, Adventures by Disney, or Aulani, then you can head on over to daydreamtravelagency.com. And get yourself a free quote. Utilize some free travel planning services. It's always nice to have somebody who is there to do all of that planning and organization for you. Alrighty, I'm in the midst of packing up this apartment over here in Evanston. It's been a fun 10 months. I'm about to head out to New York State for the summer. And then from there, who knows? Everything's up in the air. Living 1 month at a time. That's your 20s, I guess, nowadays in the 21st century. Just living out of suitcases. But I've got like packing tape, my artwork, all my Disney artwork is off the walls. So I feel kind of sad in here. It feels very bare and gross.
That sounds sad.
Yeah, that's always a rough moment, taking those down and putting them in plastic wrap, hoping that they survive another U-Haul journey without getting crushed. And yeah, bookshelves empty, games are away, so it's really a depressing few last days in here. But at least I have my cat Sticky with me to brighten the mood. Although I think she's starting to get suspicious. She's not a fan of big car rides or moving, and I think she's kind of like, oh, the boxes are back. Something must be going on. But oh well, I'm looking forward to the summer. I'll be working in an opera company and, you know, should be a good time. It's going to be kind of like a little family atmosphere out there. Lots of opera, theater, dance, concerts coming to this location. So should be a lot to keep me entertained and be doing a lot of work too. So let's hop into the news. There are two, you know, traditional Disney news stories, and then one just wild story that we're going to save for the end. So I'll start off first. Disney is offering visitors from the UK a 2023 vacation package that's called the Magic is Yours package. So this will include a dining and merchandise credit of up to $1,200, a 14-day magic ticket for the price of a 7-day ticket, Memory Maker, a $200 Disney gift card, and two tickets to Cirque du Soleil's Drawn to Life show. The only dates that are excluded in 2023 from this deal are the weeks around spring break and then December 17th through December 31st, ultimate peak season. Everything else is fair game. If you want to utilize this package, you need to stay for a minimum of 5 nights, and there's a maximum of 21 nights, and you'll have to book your trip by July 27th of this year. The benefits will depend on how long you stay and the resort category that you choose. So basically, you're not going to get that full $1,200 credit if you're staying at the All-Star Resorts. I'm pretty sure if you book at the All-Stars, you'll receive a $500 credit. If you book at some of, you know, the moderate or deluxe, then you'll get the full $1,200. And if I lived in England, I think I'd be all over this, especially if I hadn't been back since like 2019 or before pandemic times. It is the most generous offer Disney's released since COVID. And while it's not the same as giving visitors from the UK free dining, like that has been done in the past, it still represents pretty significant savings. And it might seem like this package benefits the really long trips, but remember, there isn't a room discount. So in a way, I think that staying for a week would be pretty great, because then you can actually turn that 14-day ticket into a park hopper by default, right? So it's not like having a park hopper is the only way to literally hop between parks. You can use two of your theme park days in one if you don't have a park hopper, and with deals like this, kind of makes sense to do that over your 7 days. Hop into two parks per day, and you use up all your 14 days before you leave. And then, like, if I were just traveling alone or even as a couple, that $1,200 and a $200 Disney gift card would be, like, plenty enough for food and souvenirs. You might even be able to save that $200 gift card and put it towards the next trip. I think here Disney is trying to give the visitors from England an incentive to travel, especially when airline prices are so high. Have you been following those, Emma? I know I just periodically look from time to time, and it's hard to ignore all of the news stories about like gas prices and jet fuel prices, and also how many flights are being straight up canceled all the time.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, gas prices are so high. It's ridiculous.
I know around Chicago, like, every time I pass by a gas station, it's like $5.80. It is really, really insane. And it makes me so glad that I have not needed to utilize my car this year. I don't even want to know what I would have spent in a traditional year of driving. It's scary.
Yeah.
New deal, Magic is Yours vacation package. We do, believe it or not, have a few longtime listeners from the London area, so that's always a city that pops up on our most listened to like data when we search that. So important to cover. If you're over there, then you might want to take advantage. Book within the next 2 months if you want that package. And Emma, why don't you lead us into our next story?
So Disney plans to open the Splash Mountain replacement attraction at Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom in 2024. Actress Anika Noni-Rose, who voices Tiana, seemingly accidentally announced this on June 2nd, but offered no further details. She said she would, quote, be sucked into the ground if she said anything else. Disney hasn't announced a closing date for the current Splash Mountain.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt, but just that imagery in my mind. And just thinking of like some sinkhole or crater opening and just swallowing her up. Like Bob Chapek just snaps his fingers and she's just gone.
Thanos style. Yeah. So Disney hasn't announced a closing date for the current Splash Mountain, but we can likely expect that at the D23 Expo in September of this year, 2022. Hopefully more details will come then as well, but here's what we know so far. The concept art depicts Tiana, Naveen, and Louis setting off on a journey to host a unique Mardi Gras party. The attraction will bring new music inspired by the film soundtrack. It will feature new characters alongside the characters from the movie, some of whom can be seen in the concept art. Based on the characters seen in the shadows, at least some of these characters may be redressed audio animatronics from the current Splash Mountain. Ultimately, while we still have minimal details, it is extremely exciting to have some concept of a timeline now.
Agreed. We've mentioned multiple times, although we love Splash Mountain so much, we're still excited for this re-theme. And I have just been reading, a lot of people think that she wasn't supposed to reveal this at all, and that it was a slip-up, yeah. And even just this opening date, because Disney has not confirmed this. They're just, I don't think they're very happy that this came out. And it does really sound like a D23 announcement, which at this point is still 3 months away. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it also means in some sense, the timeline is still in flux. Now they're kind of locked in, like it or not, yeah. Which I guess is good. Hey, maybe this was like strategic on her part. She was just oh, you know, I had a discussion with Disney initially and we were talking about 2024. So I'm just going to put that out there and make sure that they commit to this refurbishment.
Yeah.
You know what I also saw a few weeks ago? Oh, and this was wild. I saw one of the first movies Anika Noni Rose was ever in. And her voice is just incredible. But it was the movie From Justin to Kelly, starring Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
She was contractually obligated to film this movie after she won American Idol, like back then, and still to this day, like you have certain contractual obligations to like go on the American Idol tour and all of that stuff. But she was forced to film this movie. It was horrible. It was her and her two best friends. Anika Noni Rose was one of the friends. And they were going to a Fort Lauderdale spring break trip. And it was like her budding romance with the American Idol runner-up, Justin. Oh, and the acting, as you can imagine, was just absolutely horrendous. I will say that the soundtrack is worth downloading and listening to or streaming, because there were some bops and it is very much an early 2000s soundtrack. But yeah, the plot, the acting, terrible, hilarious.
Why did but you watch a fun that?
It's a fun way to spend an hour and a half. Well, you know, my friends and Isabella being one of them, who listeners have heard on the show before, this quarter we did weekly horrible movie nights, and that's one that came up. We were doing Bachelor nights, but since the last season ended in the spring, we had to switch gears. So
nice.
We were just watching crappy movies. Last story for today, and this is a doozy. It's another quintessential Floridian story. It almost seems too ridiculous to believe, but a 42-year-old mother from Clearwater was recently arrested for child neglect after abandoning her kid at the T-Rex Cafe in Disney Springs. Emma, didn't you eat here last time?
Well, I ate at Orlando? Rainforest Cafe.
Oh, the other one.
I would have preferred to eat at T-Rex.
Well, at least T-Rex, it's only in Disney Springs. Like Rainforest Cafe, yeah. You can go to in a lot of places.
Literally anywhere.
Yeah. But according to the arrest report, they sat down to eat at 8:45. The mother ordered two Grey Goose drinks. She asked a server if she could leave her son there for a few minutes while she went to the car to get her credit card. And the first time that she did this, she actually came back to the restaurant. Unbelievably, though, she asked the server if she could leave again for the same reason. And this time she was gone for over an hour. The mom left her fanny pack behind, which apparently contained receipts of five other double Grey Goose vodka drinks that she had purchased earlier in the day. So this time, like 9:30 p.m., she's like 10 shots in of Grey Goose, essentially. Must have been absolutely hammered. Security finally located her in the Lime parking garage, severely intoxicated, and first responders took her to the hospital. Apparently, she was on felony probation at that time for child neglect, and she didn't even ask about her son at the hospital. So crazy story. There have actually been, well, we covered one of these, another really intoxicated Disney Springs story about those two sisters getting into a brawl that ended up being a topless brawl. So here's another one. Moral of the story, you know, in the hot Florida sun, don't attempt to down an entire bottle of Grey Goose.
So
probably
true.
not gonna end well. You're gonna get sick, pass out, leave a kid behind.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's just so, I don't know why, but it happening in like T-Rex makes it so much better.
Yeah, like, and I mean, it is like also a serious and sad story because we hope that this woman gets the help that she clearly needs for alcoholism and that her son is okay. But yeah, just the fact that it's the T-Rex cafe. I mean, the velociraptors like roaring in the background.
It's almost like there was some sense of like, I want to leave my child in like an enjoyable place for him.
Yeah, she like, knew he'd be thoroughly entertained waiting.
Yeah.
So, dinner and a show.
Yeah.
Those are our stories for this episode. And in terms of our topic, we wanted to bounce off of the Splash Mountain news story and come up with a few rethemed attraction ideas for Disney World. So we're taking some existing attractions and we're either modifying the story a little bit, keeping the same track, maybe changing up the track, but we will cover some rethemed attractions right after this quick break. Oh, Disney World, so many fantastic, groundbreaking, wonderful attractions throughout the parks. And there are some that could use a little facelift, maybe a little bit of change. There's some that are ignored or have been kind of stripped down over the years in a way. And Emma and I have each come up with three ideas for retheming attractions throughout the parks, and we're going to share those with you today. Emma, why don't you kick us off here and start with your first idea for a rethemed attraction?
So my first attraction is the Tomorrowland Speedway. This ride is so lame, and I barely even remember it because we never do it. And I think it could be so easily rethemed to be a Cars attraction. I don't really like Cars, but a lot of little kids do, so I feel like this would be a popular choice. And we don't really have Cars attractions in Disney World, so it definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
It could even be Cars.
What is like Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy? Somebody please reach out to me and tell me what it is, because I've never done it at Hollywood Studios. For some reason, every time I'm over there, it's like a downpour is about to occur, and I don't want to just like wait out there for something that sounds like it's definitely geared towards the younger kids and there's no like shelter from the rain. So I don't even know what that thing is, but that's like the only presence of Cars at Disney World. And that's pretty shocking.
It's really weird because I feel like Cars is like a big part of Disneyland and like California Adventure.
And it's just a hugely profitable intellectual property for Disney. Like it's a huge franchise with planes and that stuff and three signature movies. Like, yeah, kids eat that up. It's almost like it's almost as popular as Toy Story, I feel like, for that demographic.
Yeah, but this could even be like Cars 2 themed with the European racers and like the spies. And I think that would make it even more interesting. And you could like drive through a similar route as Lightning McQueen does in that movie in the race. And to me, this seems like an obvious retheme that has just been overlooked for no good reason. Like, I don't know. This attraction just needs something.
Yeah, if there's
to, like,
if there's any nostalgia associated with this attraction for maintaining its original form, that needs to just end. Like, there's no story. You know, and I don't mind attractions not based on intellectual property, But the best ones, it's a journey or an adventure. This is just literally something that you can do in any other amusement park across the country. And also, it just smells horrible. We actually did do this on our trip in March, quite frankly, because it was something easy to get like a Genie Plus reservation for. So we didn't end up waiting for it. I was definitely not going to wait the 45 minutes that the wait was. The wait is also very consistently 45 minutes for this ride, and it is totally not worth that. But I totally agree, Emma. This could be a very easy change. You could even just change the cars that you drive. It could be very simple and kind of not like the most well thought out retheme, but it would still make it better. But what if they did have like an additional track on the outside and they had Lightning McQueen driving around it too? You know?
That'd be cool.
Like simple things like that could make it a lot more fun.
Yeah, definitely.
It would also just quite frankly be cool if they could structure it so that you're actually kind of racing somebody.
Yeah, that would be you know? Cool.
So yeah, good. I'm glad you brought this up. It was one that I was considering talking about too. I do think space, obviously where Tomorrowland Speedway is, that's like a huge consideration because there's truly like zero room for expansion where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely could use a retheme. All right. The first one that I thought of was for Kali River Rapids. Not a favorite of mine. In addition to this attraction just becoming more and more boring over the years, they seem to be taking things away, different water features away. There's not much storytelling going on at all. There's zero storytelling for this ride, too. It's pretty much just an excuse to cool off, and that doesn't really meet the Disney standard. But what if we can make this attraction more exciting and tell a great story at the same time? So if I had to reimagine this attraction, I would create a Raya and the Last Dragon ride. This fantasy was inspired by the cultures and landscapes of Southeast Asia, so it fits in perfectly to the Asia section of Animal Kingdom. We could ride along with Raya and her cute sidekick Tuk Tuk, sailing through the five kingdoms of Fang, Heart, Spine, Talon, and Tail in search of the Last Dragon Sisu. The track would be modified to include a couple of more hills, make it more, you know, engaging and thrilling. It would also have to be elongated to a certain extent because this is a really short ride as it is. The scenery would take some significant adjustment as well, just to like delineate each of the five kingdoms. But this change would be a super fun way to showcase Disney's first Southeast Asian princess and spruce up an attraction that is just in some need of modification. There's also not a ton of intellectual property that like really goes into Animal Kingdom in the first place. Like you've got The Lion King, A Bug's Life, now you have Avatar stuff in Pandora, but it kind of seems devoid of major intellectual property. And I think that this tells a much better story than the non-existent story of Kali River Rapids. Actually, the best thing story-wise about Kali River Rapids is the queue, by far.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love Raya and the Last Dragon, and I'd love to see an attraction for that come to Disney World. And I think it's a really good opportunity for it, for sure.
And so much of the movie itself was just this, like, river cruise journey, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's, like, a perfect fit. And, yeah, it's just a perfect fit. So, I feel like it's hard to redo the track of a water ride. And then, you know, you'd have to add some animatronics throughout, too. Like, it would be part like water adventure ride in part quote unquote dark ride, you know, to get the storytelling aspect in there, but it could be done. And I think they should do it. And it's a really great fit for Asia. And let's be honest, like Animal Kingdom now is most in need of either a new attraction or some type of like reimagination because Pandora held that off for a few years but with everything that has come to Hollywood Studios and Epcot, like, it needs something else now again.
Right.
But okay, so we've got Kali River Rapids and Tomorrowland Speedway. Why don't you share your second retheme?
So my second one is Grand Fiesta Tour. We've kind of talked about this a little bit. It's a classic, but it desperately needs touching up. I thought we had realized that it was going to be rethemed to be like Coco, but I don't think that's actually been made official yet. And I was trying to like look things up and I couldn't find any official Disney announcement saying that that was going to happen. It's all speculation.
Yeah, that was like a major rumor, but nothing official came of that.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, this is another obvious choice. Coco is a fantastic movie, and it deserves more than what it currently has in the Mexico Pavilion. They just have like a little, like, Day of the Dead. I don't know what to call it. But it's not very significant, I don't think.
Yeah, it's definitely like a museum display.
Yeah.
And truthfully, you know, this is a great point. I think it would be even more like holistic theme-wise if we got that as we were walking into the Mexico Pavilion and then it was just continued on the attraction.
Right. It doesn't
so the
make,
fact that you have yeah. Coco and then the three Caballeros, which we all love, it's just not as strong of a story like for this time as Coco is. So I think that would really tie it all together.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I was thinking they could like start the ride with Miguel playing his guitar in secret and then breaking into Ernesto de la Cruz's mausoleum. Then maybe after you pass the volcano, you're transported to the land of the dead. Or they
could... Oh, yeah. Oh, that transformation. I can just imagine like how bright just the colors of it all. That would be so fun.
Yes. Or they could retheme the volcano altogether and make that like the beautiful bridge to the land of the dead and have like the city in the background. Like that is such
a beautiful scene.
Like you could totally take advantage of that.
Visually, one of my favorite scenes ever to come out of like Disney.
I totally agree. Then we would be taken through Miguel's journey to getting back to the land of the living. That was kind of my idea, but I actually found a sample version of this retheme online after doing some more research. And it was really well thought out, and it was like mapped out really well. You start in Santa Cecilia, then go through the cemetery, then you go through the tomb. Then you go through the flower bridge, then go through the city of the dead, then go through the pit and pass the griffin. Then you have the finale, which is a performance from Hector and Miguel. And I think that just this concept has a lot of potential. And I also think it would be a really easy retheme. Like you wouldn't have to redo the track or anything like that. So.
Yeah, and the mapped out version you saw, was that using the existing track without any modification?
I'm like 90% sure. I'm probably higher than 90% sure it wasn't modified.
Whew. All right, pay that creator, and then they should just use that idea. Yeah. Just take it, implement it, and if it's the existing track, you could shut that thing down for just a couple months.
Yep.
You know, go hard. And then could be ready to rock and roll by the end of the year. Good idea. That's another one that I was considering choosing because, of course, it just makes sense. Needs to happen sooner rather than later. Yeah. All right, my second option. This is kind of a retheme. It's partially like a construction, partially a retheme. It involves Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor and Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. These attractions are literally like connected to each other. They're right next to each other. But do we really need either of them? What do they add to Tomorrowland?
Nothing.
They both feel old. Space Ranger Spin especially feels old. It's not a great value add to this area. I think that Disney should just get rid of both of these consolidate the space, use all of like the two buildings, and create a Monsters, Inc. dark ride. This idea is not totally new. There is a Mike and Sully to the Rescue attraction in California Adventure, and I think you can use the same premise, but if they just recreated that ride, it would feel old already. So Disney should modernize that attraction, utilizing 4D and a trackless ride system to send guests on a thrilling journey around Monstropolis as Mike and Sully try to get Boo back to her bedroom. People still have a lot of love for Monsters, Inc. Merchandise sells all over the place. They're doing more Disney Plus stuff with Monsters, Inc. And I think something super fun that resembles Runaway Railway would be a much more meaningful addition to Magic Kingdom than keeping Laugh Floor in Space Ranger Spin. And I don't think Laugh Floor is a bad attraction. I just think that it has very limited repeatability. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel the need to do it every trip, for sure. It's like the same thing every time, and I don't know.
And it's like fun audience interaction, but very copy and paste. So I just feel like after you've done this twice, you're like, okay, definitely get it. I remember these jokes. Definitely don't need to hear it a third time.
Yeah, like so, I didn't feel the need to do it on the last trip. I won't feel the need to do it on the next trip. Probably not the one after that.
And a really important thing about this reimagination is that Magic Kingdom has always been the home of the dark rides, but currently none of them in the park utilize the trackless system. So like the latest advancement in dark ride technology, you have to go to Epcot or Hollywood Studios. And I think that's like a big knock on Magic Kingdom. I love the Fantasyland area and all of that like nostalgia. So I think that, you know, Magic Kingdom needs to always have the most up-to-date, technologically advanced dark ride storytelling attractions. So what do you think about like that idea in general?
I think that's a great idea. I love Monsters, Inc. I watched it like 2 weeks ago, and it was just as good as it always has been. And I think, yeah, having a Monsters, Inc. dark ride would be great. And I think that Magic Kingdom needs something new. Like the new Splash Mountain will be a great addition, but it's just like...
Yeah, Tron's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's like, because like the other parks have been getting like a new land or like a groundbreaking new ride, it's like, I don't know, Magic Kingdom just needs something big. And we'll get big stuff with Splash and the Tron coaster, but I don't know, it needs something in the dark ride area. I totally agree.
Yeah, so that would be a little bit more of a big project. I don't know how literally these buildings are connected. And of course, you know, it would have to create an entirely new track with animatronics, or I guess track, because it's a trackless ride system.
Right.
They do have tracks. It's just, yeah. So it would be a big project, but one that's, I think, pretty worthwhile. So, all right, let's move on. What's your final idea?
So my final idea is Journey into Imagination with Figment. I love this ride personally, but it desperately needs help. And I think it has a lot of potential, but it could be spruced up just a bit and become a lot more exciting. I think projection mapping could be great for this ride, and having a trackless ride can make it about 1,000 times better. I kind of went like the same route that Austin just went. I don't know. I think it would be cool if more of it was like the part when Figment like takes over the tour and takes you like his way or whatever. It could even be similar to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, where like the train comes apart. Figment could scatter the ride vehicles and take you through different and like more immersive parts of the lab. I'm just kind of imagining this ride through the eyes of an attraction like Runaway Railway. I think it would be really cool.
I love that idea. I also love Figment splitting up the vehicles at the end. And I would like to see like each vehicle finish the ride through a different room.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
like multiple endings. That really plays into the whole imaginative mindset that's like going throughout the entire ride. It would be a way to get people to want to continue to ride this thing over and over again too.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think I always want to make it a priority, but I don't think people in the family really care that much about it. And that's valid because it's not that special. I don't know why I like it so much. But if it was like a good, like a better quality ride, that would just be really great.
Yeah, admittedly, I don't care as much for this. We did go on it in March because it's such a fever dream. So yeah. we wanted Cameron and Natalie, who'd never done it before, to ride it.
Yeah.
And I think they were just a little bit speechless at the end. Especially, and I always forget how loud that final like blast is before the ultimate scene. And it always just freaks me out so bad. It's like a gunshot or a cannonball firing.
Yeah.
It's wild. But yeah, if there were some more variation in it and multiple pathways, the possibilities are endless because this ride is all about imagination.
Right.
You know, so you have a blank slate in terms of what you could turn this into.
Yeah. This is definitely the least practical and least likely retheme on my list to happen. I think the other two are very feasible and I could see them happening in the future, but they would basically have to redo the entire attraction. And there's no way Disney would invest that much time and or money into Figment, but I still think it would be cool. So, yeah.
Yep, fair enough. That would be a great addition. And kind of opposite to you, my third one, I think, is the most likely to happen out of my choices. The other two, for Kali River Rapids and the Monsters, Inc. and Space Ranger Spin combination, I don't think those are likely at all. But this one, an update to Carousel of Progress, I think is really likely. I love this attraction, so there is no way that I would recommend a complete overhaul. We have to keep most of the attraction's original charm, but it does undeniably need to be brought into the 21st century. So the last scene nowadays is almost completely meaningless, but the whole point of the ride in the first place is to send guests off feeling hopeful and inspired by the future and about how technological advancements might dramatically improve our lives. So we really desperately need that now. There's a lot of negativity and existential dread out there. And it would be so refreshing if Carousel of Progress could focus more on the positive ways that modern technology has allowed us to accomplish things that we never dreamed of. And we all have such powerful creative tools at our fingertips. There are more ways to connect with each other than we can count. And the attraction could even mention in the final scene things like clean energy and green technology that's working to save the planet. And it could just follow the whole storyline. Every scene is kind of funny and upbeat about the future. And this could be no exception to that. And it could also just spark a larger conversation, and Disney should be prioritizing this attraction. So a lot of the things that you and I mentioned, Emma, this is kind of an overhaul of Tomorrowland in general.
I was just that's
a very, very popular theme right now. Everybody knows that it needs some major work.
Yeah, like Tomorrowland is supposed to be like the futuristic world, and it in a lot of ways is kind of the most run down right now.
Yeah, everything there is pretty old.
Yeah.
With the exception now of Tron.
Right. And I love Space Mountain, but it is so jerky. Like, it's kind of painful at times.
Oh, really? Even Space Mountain, you want
to? I wouldn't want it to change necessarily. I'd like it to be a little smoother, though. But,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you had the total, like, misfires with Alien Encounter and then Stitch's Great Escape.
Yep.
So there's just been a lot of, like, swings and misses in Tomorrowland. But for something like the Carousel of Progress, it's really just almost baffling at this point how we're in the year 2022 and we're still witnessing the same final scene.
Right. Like, I don't know. We need another scene and then the future scene. We need, like, a right now scene and then the future. And it's really weird that the future scene is right now. And it's not really, it's kind of accurate, but it's not super accurate. And it's just weird and kind of uncomfortable. I don't know why. It just needs to be better.
Yeah. And the whole thing with Walt was that he wasn't trying to look at some, like, nostalgic view of the future.
Right.
Like, he had a very nostalgic view of the past, but he was super interested in the future and, like, projecting forward. He wanted to actually project forward, like, not just arrive at the year 2000 and be like, oh, okay, now it's just funny to see what we would think. Like, yeah. That's totally not the point of the final scene. Like, yeah. It should be an inspirational scene. And it should, even if they need to update it every 5 years, then do it.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And okay, so there we go. We had 6 ideas for rethemed attractions at Walt Disney World, and we made it through. Disney, if you want to use any of our ideas, well, hey, I don't think we can copyright them, so I think we're powerless in this situation. Steal them if you want. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.